It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The new children's book, Creek Finding, tells the true story of an Iowa creek that was lost and later found and restored. With me are the author and illustrator of the book. Jacqueline Briggs Martin is the author. She lives in Mount Vernon. Hello, Jacqueline.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
And Claudia McGeehee is here. She's the illustrator of this book. She is an artist and writer who lives in Iowa City. Hello, Claudia.
Happy spring, Charity.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming back to the show. And I want to start with the idea of this book because it's about a creek that has been covered in the past by a farmer who wanted to have more land to grow corn. This was a very, very common practice. I remember it happening all the time when I was growing up in the 1980s. Jacqueline, what drew your attention to this phenomenon of these creeks that had been covered for farming and then later uncovered?
Well, actually, it all starts with Claudia. I had been wanting to do a book with Claudia ever since she gave me an illustration of a fox that she had done. And so I was, well, maybe I could write about a fox and Claudia could illustrate it. And then I saw on November 30th, 2011, a story about a man in Northeast Iowa, Mike Osterholm, who had uncovered and restored this creek. And he stocked it with brook trout, which are very hard to maintain in a waterway. It has to be clean. It has to be cool. And they were thriving. But the best part of the story for me was not only the brook trout were there, but the frogs had come back, the birds had come back, all of the insects had come back on their own. And I just loved that he gave it a nudge, but the ecosystem recreated itself, restored itself. And since I had in my head doing a book with Claudia, I thought, this is our book. This is the one. So that's really how I came to want to do this story. Yes.
Well, that's so interesting. And that is not the way that children's books usually come about. Usually they come about with an idea and the story is written and you find a publisher and they find the illustrator. So why did you decide to approach it in this way? I mean, obviously, Claudia has beautiful, beautiful work, but going to a publisher with an illustrator, that can make it even harder to get published, right?
Sometimes it can, but I'll tell you, Claudia's work is so good. We took it to a number of publishers, and some of them were quite interested, but not quite enough. But nobody said, we want to find our own illustrator. And when we finally submitted it to the University of Minnesota Press, they liked it. And they liked Claudia's work so much that they were willing to wait until she was available to do it.
Oh, nice. Now, Claudia, where did you come in on this? Obviously, you and Jackie have a relationship. You're friends. But when you heard about the creek finding idea, what spoke to you about that?
Well, I think, first of all, Jackie's enthusiasm. It's quite infectious. And when she told me about the story and about this lost creek in a prairie, there were words that jumped out at me, like prairie in Iowa and frogs and critters that would love those kind of waterways. And on top of all, I'd be working with Jackie. So there was a lot of elements that kind of fell into place almost within that first meeting. So this was this was a book that was born in an unusual way, but a very natural way too, since we were so close, Jackie and I, and this is in our wheelhouse completely. Books about nature and restoration. I couldn't say no.
Well, and Jackie, in writing the story, you were inspired by a true story, turning it into a children's book. Tell us just a little bit about the story that the book tells.
Well, once I had read the article in the Gazette, I wanted to know more. So I wrote to the Gazette writer, Orland Love. I emailed him and said, I would like to know, had some questions. He said, you should contact Mike Osterholm. And he gave me Mike's email. So I emailed him one morning about 6 a.m. And 5 minutes later, I got an email back, call me. So I called Mike and he he told me the details of his process, but I also wanted to know about the driftless area and the big glacier that missed that section of the Midwest. And I wanted to know more about Iowa frogs and Iowa insects and Iowa birds. So I did a lot of research. It's funny. Children's books are hardly ever more than 1,000 words, but you have to fill notebooks with research in order to do the right words. Finally, maybe after 8 or 9 months of research, I was ready to start writing. And I loved all of this information about the driftless and the frogs and everything, the karst, the special rock that's up there that allows water to seep through. So my first drafts had way too much information in them. They were just too long. Nobody but me would want to read them. And really, the process of doing this book was kind of like sculpting away all of that extra information to get to the real heart of the story. And I think what we have in the book is the real heart of the story. It all really happened the way we said. It's just that there's a lot more that we could have said that we didn't say.
As I said earlier, I mean, this process of burying creeks, in fact, that happened. I spent a lot of time playing in a creek next to a farm field when I was a child, and my creek got buried and it wasn't on our property, mm-hmm. as, you know, progress marched on. This was a very common practice. Were you concerned at all that you were casting a farmer in sort of a villain role for burying this creek? Because it was something that so many farmers did.
I think that's a good question. I wasn't concerned that I was making the farmer a villain. I didn't think about that. I was more excited at the restoration. And I like to think that maybe times are changing a little bit, that people are beginning to really think of farming practices as being woven into the natural environment. But, you know, maybe I'm just being optimistic about that. I would love to hear from some farmers. I guess I think that life has changed, and if somebody else buys the property, they have different goals. Mike had a different goal. I'm sure that not all the creeks that have been buried will be found again, but maybe some will. When we did our event at Prairie Lights a few weeks ago, a number of people said, my daughter is restoring a patch of prairie, or we are restoring a patch of prairie. So I feel like maybe in generally in Iowa, there are people who are thinking, we do have a rich environment here. Let's enjoy it. Let's appreciate it.
There are really two parts to this story, you know, where the creek is found. They bring in the earth movers to dig out the old creek bed. And then over time, the water comes and the animals come. And obviously, there's a lot of work that goes into that. But as you mentioned, Jackie, you distilled it down to the very essence of the story. Claudia, your artwork is so often so rich and multi-layered, and you do a lot of, in fact, almost all of your illustrations are of the natural environment. In coming up with illustrations that tell that part of the story where the ground is really barren and you're bringing in big trucks and machinery, was that challenging for you?
It was, Charity. It was, we were just talking about the big machines, and I have heard from one good friend of mine who has young children who read the story and said, all the big machines are good except for one, the bulldozer, who bulldozed the original creek to the side. And this was just a couple days ago. I'd never thought about that before, that kids were going to see the machines in almost anthropomorphically in a way. So, and not that I wanted to do that, not that I wanted to draw the machines with big smiles on their faces, but I wanted them to not be, scary at all or threatening at all. So that was my challenge in a way.
Yeah, we have a friendly-looking tractor, and they don't look like they come out of Pixar, but
exactly,
they're definitely approachable. Yeah. As for people who aren't familiar with your work, we've talked about it on the show in the past, but you work with scratch boards, so you start with sort of a blank black image.
I do. So scratch board is about as thick as normal cardboard would be. It's got black ink on the top and kind of a clay white base underneath. And I take a sharp instrument like an X-Acto blade, and I scratch off what I want white and leave what I want black. A lot of the white areas get colored eventually too, but it's like drawing in the negative. So I do start with not a blank white page, but a blank back page most of the time.
Why do you do that? Why do you like working in scratchboard?
I don't know. It's kind of one of those personal mysteries or something. I have, when I first went to school, I studied archaeology in college, and I always loved to dig and uncover things as a kid. So I think in a weird way, even though it's a different discipline, it's still kind of this discovery that I love, things that are there. And it's very much in keeping with the creek finding topic here.
What kind of image do you have in your head before you start scratching away?
Well, there's a lot of work before I scratch, that's for sure. As Jackie is researching words, I have to research images. And I do several stages of sketching beforehand, starting from very small sketches that are as big as your thumbnail, two very detailed final sketches that I actually trace onto the black scratch board in the end. So all my research is, making sure that my Osprey look correct as far as their colors go, and what exactly, the terrain around the creek looks like, little details like that that have to be fleshed out.
Do you have a favorite illustration in this book?
Well, I do love the spread with the owl. Jackie had some beautiful words almost in the middle of the book. Winter came, and I just knew that those two words had to be set in some really bold illustration. So it was a chance for me to do a winter scene, which was missing from the book, and kind of set up the rest of the book to
and
come.
It's a beautiful double page illustration with a big moon in the sky and sort of a white sleepy landscape and an owl swooping across.
Right. That owl. I always leave the owl's eyes for the very last. That's kind of like my dessert. So his yellow eyes are looking right at the reader. So
now this was inspired by a true story, as you mentioned, Jackie. And you share information about Michael Osterholm, the man that restored this creek, in the book. What does Mike think of the book?
Mike loves the book. That is one of the most satisfying parts. I mean, working with Claudia, finding the story, that was all fun. But to have Mike love it so much is really a gift that I wasn't expecting. I don't think you were either, were you, Claudia?
No, I wasn't.
Did you both go and visit this creek?
We have, yes. Claudia went before I did, but we both went this fall and dipped our feet in the creek, and it was wonderful.
Did you guys, either one of you, did you play in creeks when you were growing up?
Well, I did. I grew up in the Northwest in Washington State, and there was a particular creek that a very elderly friend of ours owned. And this creek had a kind of clay that we used to forage for and make little pots, little pinch pots. So that's a real strong memory for me growing up.
I think when I was growing up, as I mentioned earlier, I spent probably half of my life playing in a creek. And it's something that kids just don't get to do much of anymore. What do you want kids, when they read this book, they see these beautiful pictures, they learn this story. What do you want them to take away from this?
I hope that they like the pictures, that they like the bugs and the birds and the frogs. And I actually hope we don't have a lot of creeks anymore. I didn't play in a creek. We just had a little ditch that had water in it in the springtime. So I know that not all kids have access to creeks, but they do all have access to the outdoors. And I hope it just kind of tunes their eyes and ears to the outdoors, in addition to the machines, which we think they love. But I would like to have them, oh, there's a butterfly, there's a bird, there's a frog.
Claudia, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I love the word tune in, just to make them more observational. And that, it, as Jackie said, it doesn't have to be, you know, a grand Teton kind of experience. It can be just out your backyard where a puddle is formed. Look for the earthworms. I mean, and parents and caregivers can do that and can facilitate. And books certainly help. Nature books on nature are a great way to introduce kids to these concepts.
We have an email from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids, and she asks, do your guests have any advice for a first-time author and illustrator in Iowa? Writing children's books is something that appeals to a lot of people. It's a hard world to break into. Do you guys have some advice that you could share?
There's an organization that I always recommend that people join. It's called the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. We have a chapter in Iowa. It's quite an active chapter. You can Google online, find it. Join. They have conferences at where there are speakers, and oftentimes editors or agents will come. And for an additional fee, you can have them read your work and comment on it. And they often say, if you want to make these revisions and send this to me, do. It's really a good way to get your foot in the door. So that would be my recommend. My second recommend, which probably should have been first, is read all the children's books you can. Read as many as you have time for.
Claudia, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, Jackie stole my line. Yes. just read. Expose yourself. Take a particular look at the publishers that are doing books that you enjoy. Those are the kind of people that you're going to want to connect with first. So,
all right. Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
Jacqueline Briggs Martin and Claudia McGeehee, they are the author and illustrator of the new book, Creek Finding, a true story about a creek that was lost, found, and restored in Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.